Let's key in and talk for a while about a subject that just fascinates me, and it is very perplexing. You know, we have had bizarre cases lately of some kind of creature. I think it's probably a like a boar, a wild boar. But let's talk about the chupacabra and your interest with the chupacabra.
Well, the chupacabra, George, is an interesting mystery or an interesting creature because it seems to straddle two areas, one being cryptozoology and the other one ufology. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I'm sure all your listeners have heard of the chupacabras, this razor-clawed, fanged devil, almost like creature that is reputed to inhabit the rainforest of Puerto Rico, the El Yunque rainforest. And it's been variously described as having like a monkey-type face and body, glowing red eyes in some cases, razor-sharp claws and fangs, talons. And even in some reports, witnesses have described the creatures having bat-like wings, leathery bat-like wings, or in some cases people have said pterodactyl-type wings. Now, most of the reports predominantly began in the early to mid-1990s, and I guess, you know, like a lot of people, I read articles and books and watched TV documentaries on the subject and came to the conclusion from those that something weird was going on. But it was only when I made my first expedition out to Puerto Rico, I've been out there several times now, it's only when I made my first expedition in 2004 that I actually began to appreciate precisely how strange the entire chupacabras puzzle is on Puerto Rico and how seriously it's taken and the significance with which it's, to an extent I would say, affected the population of Puerto Rico, and I don't, you know, use that phrase lightly. First time I went out there in the summer of 2004, I interviewed numerous witnesses across the board who said that they'd either seen the chupacabras or their animals, either pets or livestock, if they owned farms and ranches, had been attacked and killed by the animal. And typically the attacks were pretty much what we've come to expect from this creature, i.e. the classic almost vampire-like two fang marks on the neck and the body is drained of blood, or at least massive amounts of blood reputedly evacuated from the bodies. And as I said, this has ranged from pet owners to ranchers to police officers to people from the civil defense units who I interviewed. And so, I mean, would you like me to talk about some of those?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, please.
All right. Well, one of the, I guess, the key aspects of the chupacabra's mystery is that, for the most part, the reports began to surface in the early to mid-1990s. However, when I got out there, I actually found that when you begin to, I guess, catch the attention and gain the trust of the locals, you begin to realize that this mystery has been in existence for a very long time, but there's almost been like this undercurrent of superstition and dread and fear of talking about it. And so people in a lot of the little towns and villages that pepper Puerto Rico, you know, they remain very closed-mouthed unless they realize, you know, you're going to speak to them and listen to them fairly and honestly and, you know, not poke fun at them. And so it was a case first of, I guess, gathering their trust and listening to what they had to say. And one of the earliest cases that I delved into actually dated from 1975. Now, of course, the term chupacabras, which is Latin for goat sucker, and which relates to the predominantly the type of animals that were initially attacked by the chupacabras, goats. Chupacabras is a, you know, a well-known phrase today, or well-known term today.
I got a call. Let me just ask you this real quickly. I got a call from an open line caller last week. He was a Puerto Rican, and he said the chupacabra was only a myth that parents set up to scare little kids. I don't think that's the case, do you?
No, that's not the case at all. If it's scaring little kids, it's scaring police officers, civil defense workers, ranchers, and everybody in between.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, I don't dispute that maybe people have exploited the myth, you know, as kind of like a Boogerman story or something like that. I think that's possible. But the fact that something is responsible for the stories in the first place, there's no doubt about that in my mind at all.
Okay, now I'll let you pick up from where you left off. Okay.
Yeah, as I said, the earliest case that I found was in the mid-70s, when there was certainly no terminology along the lines of chupacabras existed then. And what I did find was that in the 1980s, there were references to something that was known as the Moca vampire, Moca being an area of Puerto Rico. And the term was created following a number of unusual animal deaths in the area. But this report from the 1970s involved a lady who lived high up in the El Yunque rainforest. The El Yunque rainforest is this huge, sprawling rainforest that dominates Puerto Rico, where a lot of the reports of sightings of the chupacabras have occurred. And so on my first visit out there, the researcher who accompanied me had done some prearranged plans to find people for me to speak with. And so we went out there, interviewed this elderly lady who was very happy to speak with us, lived high in the El Yunque rainforest. She'd seen this thing in the mid-70s when she was driving home late one night. And she said it was literally stood in the middle of the road, and she had to bring the car to a halt, just could not get past it on one of these high, winding mountain roads. And she described it to me, again, like many of the witnesses did, sort of 4 to 5 feet tall, a monkey-style body, monkey-style head, but with large glowing eyes, claws which were flickering in front of the car. And she said, in what looked, or what she perceived to be a very threatening fashion, it suddenly unfolded these huge wings, which again she described as bat-like rather than bird-like with feathers. She was obviously petrified, didn't know what to do, just stood there dumbstruck and awestruck, and literally had to wait for this thing to move out the way. And she said it kind of shuffled to the side of the road and then vanished into the thickness of the trees. And, you know, she was shaking, drove home, didn't know what it was, and put it to the back of her mind and didn't really discuss it with people until the 90s, when the larger wave of sightings of the chupacabras began and it began to attract media attention. So that was an intriguing account in the sense that it predated by several decades the presumed beginning of the reports in the 90s, and hers is one of the stories that I include in the book as, you know, I think for me is one of the defining moments of me coming to realize that this actually isn't a modern mystery. It's an old mystery that's actually gaining publicity today.
Incredible, incredible, incredible. So you then went also back to Puerto Rico following your 2004 investigation, right?
Yes, I did another one in 2005, and collectively, you know, gained I consider to be a very large and credible body of data. And as I said earlier, you know, I came away with a renewed appreciation of what this creature may be, its capabilities, and how it's viewed by the locals. A lot of people on the island noted, for example, the potential UFO connections. And, you know, if you do UFO research or you look into the history of Puerto Rico and UFOs, there are countless stories of massive waves of UFO activity in and around the island. A number of people who I interviewed, actually this is on the first trip specifically, told me how ranchers I'm talking about now, their animals had been killed perhaps a night or two nights after unusual lights had been seen hovering over their properties. Now, one case in particular that springs to mind involved a classic so-called flying triangle type craft, you know, these huge black triangle things that people have seen in recent years all around the world. One of the witnesses told me how he'd seen this thing literally come out of the oceans, his property backed onto the ocean, and he said he'd seen this huge black triangle raised out of the water, had no idea what it was. It was obviously no conventional aircraft, and it just shot away at high speed. And, you know, that was the first strange thing that ever happened to him in his life, and I'm quite sure that he presumed it would be the last one as well. But two nights later, he's... farm animals were attacked. He woke the next morning to find several of them strewn around the property dead, puncture marks, bodies drained of blood, no idea what had happened. So, you know, that was just one of several examples where witnesses had tied this weird creature with the UFO activity that was going on in the area.